Hello, you hot piece of teaching ass. Gather your tipsy troops and get ready for another episode of the Tipsy Teacher Podcast. If you're a teacher and you like to get tipsy and talk shit, then you are home. In this episode, we will be discussing math. You're gonna want to listen in. Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Tipsy Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Kind Vine Teacher Wines, the wine that fuels and funds teachers. We are so glad that you are back and super excited to laugh, vent, and entertain our hardworking teachers out there. Now it's time for you to sit back and relax. Just a reminder that homework is for home, and so is this podcast. Tipsy Teacher is NSFW, not suitable for work, friends. So if you're at work, turn that shit down. All right, so today on the podcast, I have a friend who I've made on Instagram named Mona, and she is a math wizard, pretty much. her brain works so much more on the other side than my brain does, and this is great, and this is why I love having her here. And basically, it all started in 2021 when Mona responded to my Instagram story, coveting my brand new bedding set that my brother got me for Christmas. And then I again heard from her after I was going through my closet and posted a picture of my ugly Grammy teacher sweater vest. So
I love
basically, we
it.
have the
What a good history we have.
taste. And now here we are. So here is Mona, and she's going to introduce herself.
Hello. Okay, yes, I'm Mona and I like ugly teacher sweater vests and making random friends on Instagram. I mean, 2021, that's a long time ago. We were all trying to find new friends, I feel like, on Instagram
Yeah.
back then.
Oh yeah. Oh
So we
yeah.
those were the only friends we could have.
You're like, you have a bed? I like that bed. I want to be in bed. Tell me more about your bed.
Yes. Okay. But your intro of me kind of talked me up too much because I am not sure if I can live up to Math Wizard. Because I'm Mona, the former math avoider. I spent like all of my life avoiding math, cheating my way through high school math, barely getting by in college math, being a teacher and hating teaching math.
Well,
Like,
then
hurry
how
up,
did
get
we get
your
here,
workbooks out.
Mona?
What? You didn't know that?
How did you get here?
Now I have a podcast called Honest Math Chat and an Instagram handle called Hello Mona Math. Like, what is my life? Everything changed, you know, as it does. But I really liked teaching everything, like with talking and hanging out and building a community and all of the things that we like to do, picture books, right? And then it was like math was like, all right, guys, get out your workbooks. Let's get through this shit and just get on to the good stuff, right? Like,
Ours is all games. I'm kindergarten. I don't know what grade level you are, Mona.
well, I've taught everything like first to middle school.
Okay, very different. Like, don't you feel like elementary? It's like, here's this game again. Here's this same game again. Like, it's
And I
so
don't know if you're
repetitive.
learning anything, but yeah, keep playing.
Yeah, keep playing this game about base 10, I think, is what it's about.
So then a math coach was like, actually, you don't just have to like open the curriculum and teach the script. And I was like, really? Because that's all I've ever been told.
All
And
right,
that's the only
coach.
thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
She was like, no, like, you know, it can be discussion based and kids can like experience it and like learn through real world problems. And I was like, no, that's not true. And
It doesn't say that in the curriculum.
yeah, that's not what I learned and the way I learned. And so basically, when I don't know something, I'm like really annoyed and have to figure out it all out. So
Yes. So you're a problem solver, and this
there you go.
made you a math wizard.
Well, so I don't know. So I still sometimes feel like I don't belong in like math spaces because people take themselves very seriously as math people, as high school math teachers, middle school math, anyway, whatever. So I went on this like research binge, right? Learn it all. I always call myself a learn it all. So I learned all sorts of like the research behind like, oh yeah, teaching math in this like sense making way aligns with the way I teach everything else. So that's how I got here. That was 13 years ago. So, you know, I've been on this quest of being a math wizard.
She will receive her hat soon, folks. That's right. What would you say is like the biggest thing that's changed from before with the way you teach math as to how you teach it now?
Yeah, I really think it's like my own math understanding.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was feeling like we were getting at here.
I distinctly remember standing at the board teaching third grade math.
Oh, no.
And
I'm sweating.
Having to teach, we were doing like area or arrays or multiplication, you know, and I just had this like epiphany where I was like, wait a minute. The multiplication sign means groups of? Why the hell didn't anyone tell me this?
No.
I could have known that when I was 8 and everything would have been different for me. But instead it was like, you need to memorize that 5 times 4 is 20. But if somebody would have been like, yo, but there's 4 groups and there's 5 in each, I could have thought about math a whole lot differently.
Dang, yeah. Like, if these symbols have words, like, I mean, the equal sign does.
Yes.
Equals or the same as. Oh, we'll see. Again, when I teach kindergarten, we make an anchor chart and we do like, what does the plus sign means? And.
Yeah.
This and this. And then, you know. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Group stuff. I feel so dumb.
See, did you learn something? I know, right? Yeah. So, and it works with everything. Like, you know, 1/4 groups of 16. Like, a fourth of a group.
Oh, what? Yeah. I feel so stupid.
No, you feel so empowered now, right? You're like,
yeah, that get too. It. I feel like everyone has known this though, and I
that
did
is
it.
Yes, that is exactly how I felt when I was.
We had great math teachers, but I mean, it was like it took a village in math class. I feel like you said, you cheated. I want to know about your cheating. How did you cheat?
And well, I mean, everybody.
I'm not judging you, by the way.
Yeah. When we were in high school, I feel like much of our grade was homework.
Okay, yeah.
You couldn't be bothered to do homework.
And all the odd answers were in the back of the book.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's just like, my brother's best man in his wedding's name is Rufino. And Rufino sat behind me in trigonometry. How I ended up in trigonometry, no idea. Really good student, right? Really good at like listening to the teacher. Okay, I memorized what you did for a very short amount of time, reproduced it on the worksheet, turned it in, got my A, moved on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, Rufino sat behind me. He was my brother's friend, younger brother, had a crush on me. So I would just hand my homework back. Rufino would change the answers, write them all correct, mark them correct. And then I got through trigonometry.
That's how I cheated in chemistry.
See,
we would switch papers to check them. They had us check our own quizzes.
Brilliant.
If you're listening to Snowback, I'm so sorry. I'm letting you down. I actually remember the stuff. It's just I didn't remember it at that time. But you know, yeah. Wow, it's good to have a boy. You know, it's those good looks, that feminine quality right there. Got you where you are. I'm just kidding. Sorry, math people. I didn't say that. Oh my goodness. Well, okay. So you also have a podcast where you talk about math strategies. Tell me about your podcast.
Yeah. So it's called Honest Math Chat because I truly don't know any other way to be. And sometimes it comes off too like harsh, I think. So I just wanted to give that trigger warning in the title of like, this isn't the kind math chat. This is like, listen, this is terrible. We should do it this way. So yeah, we talk a lot about like,
I love that.
We talk a lot about building math community because we think all the time about building a community of readers and writers, right? Yeah. And are very intentional about what our classroom libraries look like and all of that. But we don't spend a lot of time thinking about what our mathematicians need.
Yeah.
And so kind of bringing that to our light of like, oh yeah, we are also teachers of math, even though we don't identify it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I get that. Yeah. I just had a job interview and I was totally tripped up when they asked me math questions. I was like, that's right. I also will teach math. Yep. Mm-hmm. and I'll do it well. I will. I'll use the numbers and stuff, and we'll dig deep and talk and communicate and problem solve.
And manipulatives. That'll change everything.
Yeah. We're going to make anchor charts too. We might have some hands-on activities. I hope you like everything I'm saying, because I was not prepared for this portion because I forgot that math existed.
I mean, that's so common. I mean, that is like, honestly, how I spent like the first 5 years of teaching was just like, it was an add-on. There was a time I taught multi-age, which is a shit show.
Wow.
So anybody who's doing that that's listening is the real wizard.
Here, a little house on the prairie, one-room schoolhouse.
Truly, it truly was. But of course, everything was like integrated and we teach kids on a continuum of learning and all of that, which is whatever. And then, like I have kids who can read a lot and I have kids who don't know how to read anything. Okay. But for math, it was like, but we have a curriculum for math. So the second graders go over there and the first graders stay with Mona.
Yeah, what?
What? Yeah.
How is it any different? Actually, to me, math is very like concrete, black and white. This is this and this and this. Whereas reading is not at all. And that's when they should be separated.
Yeah.
If they're, I mean, they should be separated all the time, actually. I don't know why anyone would think it's a good idea to teach all of these kids in one room, but.
Whoa. Yo. So then I was teaching like, you know, 10 or 11 kids from a different class and then like 10 or 11 of my first graders. And I remember holding this one child. He wouldn't do anything. He would just roll on the carpet and cause chaos. And I just remember easel. They probably had whiteboards or something to get them to listen. And he, I can't even remember his name, maybe Trayvon or something. He's just sitting on my lap. And I'm just holding him. Like, it wasn't like a loving like thing.
It was like, the math through me.
Only here. The only way any of us are going to survive is if I hold you and try to get kids to learn how to make a 10. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's wild.
It
okay.
was wild.
All right. Yeah. And then if I read correctly when I was on your Instagram, you also deliver professional development.
I do that. Yeah. Yeah. So I was a teacher in Chicago Public Schools for 15 years. Resigned at the end of last year. That's a long time.
I'm just kidding.
What'd you say?
I said, it's Chicago. You don't say it right.
Chicago. Well, I'm not from here, but you know, same. So 16th year in Chicago Public Schools. And now I am just like coaching and consulting with different schools around the city. It's really cool. It's really neat to like be able to see how things go in different places. So that's cool. Kind of getting that started. Do some PD, different
places.
Is that
through the county still, or is that your own separate thing? Oh,
that's my own thing.
You have to file your taxes and everything. Like,
somebody should do that.
It's coming up.
That sounds like math. That's the avoider in me. I'm like, wait a minute.
You know what? That could be a whole podcast episode, is everyone helps you file your taxes.
Yes.
Dude,
please write in with advice.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That is so cool. So how did you even get that started?
Yeah. So it was during the pandemic when we all were like on our phones and all that. And I had a baby, our 3-year-old. Almost 4-year-old, was born May 2020.
Perfect
time. Wild time. And then I was on maternity leave in the fall, and I was like, might as well like start sharing some ideas I have, because I got all this extra time and literally nothing to do while we're at home. So that's when it all started, and then just kind of been sharing things on Instagram and doing virtual PDs and. Yeah, it's just kind of grown.
You decided to make this a business, right? Nobody like reached out and was like, hey, you're doing
that's true.
Great.
Yeah. I decided. I was like, I'm going to do this because my kids are 5 and 3 and it's time. This is it, right? This is the time to like lighten the load, have a little flexibility. I mean, you're like, you were at home for a year with your, or longer?
Yeah, it's 2 years. I go back in the fall. So he was born January 2022. So my 2 years is up, but they are having me start in the fall, which is perfectly fine
with me. That's so nice.
Yeah. And so again, I was like, well, when I return, should I lighten the load or should I go back to the classroom because I can't get enough? And I'll let you guys know what I decided whenever I'm allowed to talk about it more. But I just, yeah, I understand completely where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so LinkedIn. Who am I?
Right. Right.
LinkedIn.
I know.
And LinkedIn. People post on their like Facebook. That's a whole nother topic. I was like, what is this website? But that is so cool. I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you get to go around to public schools.
Yep. So I, wow. You know, anybody who wants to hire some, I think it's like really a niche.
No, because my county, it's like you have to be in the county to give PDs to the county. We don't hire outside of the county.
Yeah. And
unless
so
we
there's
bought their curriculum and we want them to teach us how to implement that. So
yeah.
I love that you exist in your area.
Well, I think that there's all different situations and it just depends, right? Like some districts have a lot of district people to provide things and a lot of math coaches. And some districts or schools have no one or can't afford anyone, right? And so it's like cheaper to just hire someone once in a while or whatever. I don't know. That's the part that I'm still in the process. I'm still grappling with all of that, right? Talk about productive struggle. And I'm like, okay, here I am learning something new. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's so fun. I mean, what a little business. What a big business you are.
Working on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Is there anything else that we feel like we need to share? I don't know.
I think we covered quite a bit.
I can't think of anything else. I stalked about you on Instagram, but now I have my questions for you. Are you ready?
Hey, yes. Bring it on.
All right, Mona. If you were a math superhero, what would your catchphrase be when you're encouraging students to tackle tough problems?
I love it. Oh, man. I love it. I have the one for like, if I'm encouraging teachers.
Oh, do that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So like the superhero that's like supporting teachers in teaching, right? So that's Get Curious. And I just made a sticker. I think we talked about this.
Yes.
I love this. I love this phrase. Like, and I was just talking to some teachers about this today because you really feel like a superhero to kids when you just like stop trying to tell them what to do and you just listen to them. Because in a class of like 25 to 30 kids, like they don't get the like one-on-one attention from teachers very often. So if you like look at them and look at their work and you just are really like, tell me what's going on. And then you just leave a bunch of space and then they're like, is this lady okay? Does she black out?
Does she have the time for this?
Absolutely. Right. Not. They're concerned for you. No. Yeah. And it really is like a way to shift the culture from like just getting kids from like problem to answer. Right. That's like always kind of the path.
Yeah.
To actually thinking, because there's no reason to think or describe your thinking or, as the problem says, show your work if nobody's listening.
Oh my gosh. That's beautiful.
So get curious. That's my catchphrase.
Catchphrase. Oh, I love it. Ooh, okay. Number two.
Let's go.
Mona, if your math class were a sitcom, what quirky characters would be involved in solving math problems together? Ooh.
Ooh. These questions are unbelievable.
Thanks.
Okay.
I was really proud of them. I was watching The Bachelor and I was like,
I mean, the way your brain works, woman, I just love it so much. Okay. I am not as creative as this. This is just amazing. Okay. Quirky characters from a sitcom that are solving problems together. I like, like only sitcoms that are popping into my head are Full House and Kramer. Those are the words that are popping.
I could only think of Bluey in the moment. I was like, Bluey, just Bluey.
Bluey. Well, Bluey is like, Bluey is a metaphor for life. Let's just be real. Our life as moms of preschoolers and toddlers.
Yep.
And really, if you watch Bluey, dang, that's deep, right?
Yeah.
No, we gotta have like the kids that are just so eager. So who is that? Like, right? Like the
Kimmy.
Yeah, like the Kimmy, like they're just like, yeah, yeah, I'm here. I know all the answers. And they're the smart ones. I'm thinking the Danny Tanners, right? Like the dad who's just like always doing it right, always has the right answer. Those are like, everybody has that.
Yeah.
But those are the least interesting math people in your classroom because they're the ones who find quick success. So my, like, this is going to sound bad. My mission is always to like knock them down a step a little in the sense of like, I want them to feel struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to feel and learn those skills of like, yes, this is easy for you, but like you will run into struggle someday. And it might not be with a math problem, but it will be with something.
In life.
Yeah.
You're not knocking them down. You're building their atmosphere up to,
there we go. Okay.
You know, yeah.
I'm helping them. Yeah. But then I think like there's like the Uncle Jesse coming in with like the,
I'm too cool for math.
Yeah. And like, everybody expects them to not be good at it. Yeah. But then when they talk, you're like, oh, hi, you're more than just your looks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they have like good ideas when you finally get to listen to them.
This is a great, great answers. Okay. All right. So this is probably, okay. How do you handle students who maybe, or I don't know, maybe even teachers who aren't interested in learning about the appropriate way to teach solving math problems because they think that math is only for like mad scientists and like you will never use this in regular life. So basically, when will I ever use this in normal life? When that comes up, what do you do? How do you do
it? Well, it's easy. Like, so the way that I like to teach math is through word problems, real life word problems, right? Like our workbook, I was truly in a third grade classroom last week and they were solving a problem about onions. A farmer's market and a farmer that had onions. I'm like, what third grader likes onions?
Exactly.
And who wants to talk about onions? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
So I like to make the
one.
Problem.
You better.
Like, we could have solved the exact same problem about Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Instant engagement, right?
Lollipops. Like, Jesus.
Anything exactly. Like, it doesn't even have to be that serious. Yeah. So there's that, like making sure that kids have an opportunity to like relate to the math. But then I think like intrinsically kids are motivated when they're listened to, when they have time to share, right? Mm-hmm. There's no, they, in writing class, kids don't write books in school if they're not going to get to read them to their friend.
Yeah.
It's gotta be the same thing about math. And so I like to teach teachers like how to problem solve with students, like let them problem solve and then have a structure for how to bring that to a math discussion to build this like audience for their math ideas.
There's also like a lot of confidence that I feel like needs to be almost practiced when it comes to math. I don't know, at least for me growing up, it was math and foreign language that I never, like I always knew what I was doing, but I was never like confident enough in myself to like share it out. But I feel like if you had that interaction and that practice, like getting to connect and share like in a small group and then a larger group and then like, whoa, you're in charge of the whole class, like that kind of thing, like how it would build, that would have been I would have been way more confident. Maybe I would accept that maybe I am good at math, but who knows? I don't know. I always thought I was bad, you know.
Yeah, but totally.
And I think bad. Like I didn't even take it senior year because I had already been ahead, like
I did too. I was like that. Yeah, they have a math class for balancing your checkbook. Done. I'm in.
Yeah, now,
I can't even find a checkbook at this moment. Yeah. But I think you're absolutely right with the confidence building. And that's like, I feel like that relates to everything else we do in school. Like we play the like team building game in morning meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach them about like, you know, teamwork or collaboration or communication. And then it's like, then we can like relive that in math, right? Like relate those skills to math. But you're totally right with like the practice every day, the rehearsal, like you don't have to get it right today. You can participate tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Have you ever used a math problem or taught a math problem or helped a teacher teach a math problem that was so challenging that even you could not figure out a way to get to the solution.
Okay. This actually happened today. This sounds like bullshit, but it happened today. Okay. All right. So I work at this school where they're adopting a new curriculum and the principal is great. And she is helping out with some seventh graders. Okay. There's a struggling seventh grade class. So she's in the seventh grade class.
Oh, which is wonderful.
Right. Wow. Doesn't everybody want a principal like that? If you want to work at this school, I think they're hiring. So send me a DM. So I get there and she's like, hey, do we have time to meet today? And I was like, yeah, sure. And she's like, well, actually, can I just ask you a question? I'm like, yeah. So I go into the principal's office. She's like, okay, I'm helping these seventh graders. And she hands me the test, like the study guide for the test. And she's like, before I tell you what I think, can you solve this one for me? Right there on the spot. Hands me the thing. Seventh grade math. I'm telling you, when I say that, like, I don't always feel like I belong in math spaces, this is the space.
Oh, no.
I'm like, and of course, it's like a 5-sentence word problem.
Oh, geez.
And every choice, there's about five onions. Choices are a sentence. And I'm like, dear Lord, I'm going to have to stand here for 2 minutes to just read the problem.
Yeah. And please don't look at me. Please look away.
We're both standing. And at some point, because she's a very good person, she was like, I'm sorry. I should not be putting you on the spot like this. You can take your, like, whatever. And I was like, no, it's fine. Hold on just a second. And then she starts explaining, because she's feeling bad now. She starts explaining what she thinks it is and all of this. And I'm like, okay, hold on. And so basically what happened was the teacher said it was like D, but it was very evident that it could be B or D. Oh. And it was maybe one of those problems that should have said like select all, but there was maybe a typo. Mm-hmm. And I had to leave this conversation in the principal's office with the principal who has agreed to like hire me for tens of thousands of dollars for the year.
Yeah.
As the math wizard, he had to be like, I'm going to have to get back to you on this seventh grade problem.
Let me take off my hat really quick. I'm feeling very wizardry right now.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't come prepared for this. So anyway, this consisted of me like deep diving into the lessons and in the language of the problem and looking at the assessment and texting my high school math friends and being like, what about this problem? And it turns out, I really do think that there was a typo in the problem.
Oh, good.
Yes. Yes.
So everybody else agrees.
So we're all in agreement. It's all fine.
See? Community. Right there. Your community was there for you. That's what I needed in math. And I didn't know it.
See? You just needed time. And you know what I said to her on the way out? I was like, you know what? Because she was like expressing to me like how she felt bad because she was questioning the teacher, but also like the kids were like, well, what's the answer? And she was like, I don't know. And I was like,
she's the principal. So that's like a little bit like, oh no.
That is right. So I was like, you know what? This is a good time for us to model for our students that like, we are not computers. Yeah. We do not always know the right answer. And it's okay to say like, I'm going to get back to you on that. I got to do a little more research.
Oh my god, I love that. That is hilarious. And I love that you were all there and you were all involved.
It's just like, okay, here we go.
But tomorrow, are these kids going to be like, will you see them tomorrow?
I didn't witness it with the students. So it will be interesting. Oh. I'm going there tomorrow as well. So I'll have to find out from the principal and the teacher how it went.
Yeah. And you'll be like, and by the way.
And by the way, it's D and
that was on you, not on me. No, just kidding. Oh my god, that's hilarious. Okay, next one. If you could create a math related dance move to celebrate solving a tricky problem, what would it be called?
Oh my gosh, a dance move to these are like hard. Okay, this one's hard. There's this one from ChatGPT.
So this one I was thinking of like
give me an example.
High pie.
I love it.
Example. Prove it.
I'm like, I can think of an example of a dance. Like, I saw a TikTok dance and it went like crazy viral of these girls like dancing out like different symbols. Like, here's divide.
Okay.
I'm like, I love this. I love this.
Okay.
But the name, I think it has to have the name Grapple in it.
Okay.
Because that's what I always tell kids to do, like, grapple with the problem. Okay. Like, you can grapple.
Okay.
All right, the grapple.
Like the grapple, like the wobble?
It's the grapple.
Yeah, grapple with me. It would involve a kind of movement.
I'm gonna have to make a reel of this dance, and we'll see if we can. Grapple.
We can collaborate. I'll start part of it.
Okay. We can stitch it or whatever they call it. Yeah, yes. Okay.
The remix. I don't know.
This is happening.
Don't worry, everyone. You're gonna see the grapple soon, coming to a classroom near you.
Yes. Yes, you are.
It's going to take off. It's going to be a huge hit.
Yeah. I don't usually dance on Instagram, but for this, I am.
We will grapple. We will get the grapple on. Okay. So if you were to organize a math-themed comedy night, what math jokes would you make sure that you included to keep the audience laughing? Now, you don't have to tell me any math jokes because I've already looked up many. And I did use ChatGPT for the math jokes because I did not know.
She's ready with math jokes.
Yeah, this is actually where I was like, oh, this is a great math jokes. But is there any, like, I remember being like with pre-cal, like with the circle thing. I just feel like that could, you could have an entire stand-up comedy special about that stupid fucking circle. it's hilarious to me, I feel as though, because it's a circle. What does that even mean?
Feel like you could have a whole comedy night about high school math teachers. Yeah. Love you, but also like everybody's a coach, or it's like the cakewalk job for some, like at least when I was in school in the early 2000s, right? Yeah.
You're right. They were all coaches.
Yeah. It's like they all wanted to be the athletic director, so they just took the math job.
Oh my God. My eyes are wide open now.
In my geometry class, like the man who was our teacher, I can't even think of his name, we made mini golf layouts for what I can remember was like half of the year.
You were measuring the area probably.
And where can you bounce the ball and the angles.
So his whole room was a putt-putt course by the end of
we just drew them on graph paper.
Oh. What?
Yeah. It wasn't fun. Like, remember, I didn't like math for a long time.
I didn't enjoy it.
No.
You didn't get to play.
No, there was no playing. It was just like, draw another putt-putt course, this time with this kind of angle.
You know what? That is just so interesting. Like, they had great math teachers, but they were all coaches at like some point in their lives. I just wonder if that has something to do with the personality. Like, because to me, when I think about math people, though, I think about like very organized people, not like super duper active people, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe math people are the active people because they're like critical thinkers and they're like, I have to organize my brain somehow. I don't know. I guess English teachers definitely aren't the coaches, though. I never had come upon that.
Yeah. There's like, I think the archetype of a math teacher is something to have jokes about for teachers.
Yeah, okay. I love that. Mm-hmm. All right, that's great. Speaking of jokes, I have some jokes for you, Mona.
Okay, I can't wait.
I want to see if you know any of these answers. I tried ranch water for the first time. I don't know if have that. Do you have that?
So good. It's so,
so good. And it's like refreshing, and I didn't feel like a headache, or I didn't feel like nauseous or like full. Oh, sorry, my zipper came in to do some whatever that's called, that thing that people like where you tap on things.
Oh, yes.
What's it called? ASMR? Yeah. Yes.
Put your fingernails, tap.
Guys, hear this? Okay, anyway. I digress. What was I saying?
I have no idea. Jokes.
That's fine. We'll just skip ahead to the jokes.
We'll just get to the jokes.
I can't wait to listen to this later and be like, I didn't finish my thought. That's my brain, friends. Okay, so why was the equal sign so humble? Because he knew he wasn't less than or greater than anyone else.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Isn't that cute?
Okay. Remember letter people from when we were kids? And yeah, I feel like the equal sign would be one you would really want to take home. He'd be chubby.
Yeah, he would be chubby.
Nice wine.
Sweet boy.
Sweet boy.
Sweet boy. Oh, now I remember. I was drinking ranch water.
Oh, yes.
And the second one here is, I was laughing so hard. I like punched my friend in the leg because I thought it was so funny. And I'm really talking it up, and it's probably not that good. Okay. It's parallel. I can't even say it. Parallel lines have so much in common. It's a shame they'll never meet. Okay, so it was the ranch water. It's really not that good of a joke.
Oh, I see. You think it was funny because of the ranch water. I'm like waiting for like, what does it have to do with agave? What does it have to
That's do? It. It's over now. It's over now, Mona. Don't think too much into
okay,
it.
Okay.
Okay, this one's a question, so this is better. Okay. I feel like the question ones are better. Why did the student do multiplication problems on the floor?
I mean, I have no idea. Maybe
the teacher told him not to use tables.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was just instantly going for like, it's a Monday and a full moon and like, you know.
Because yeah, everything sucks. Down on the floor. Oh, this one's good. You might get this one, maybe. Why did the two fours skip lunch? Why did the two fours skip lunch?
You really want me to get this one?
I think you can do it.
I don't know. Is it? Eight? Because they already ate.
Yeah!
All I could think of was like, because 7, 8, 9. Do you know that one?
Yeah. Not this time, 7. Not this time.
Okay.
Next one. I don't like that one. I'm skipping it. Next one. Why did the fraction go to therapy?
It's 2024. It's normalized.
Yeah, because everyone does. It had too many problems. I don't get it. Do you get it?
No.
Okay, that one was dumb too. I should have skipped it.
Because 1/4 is all of us.
Yes. No, you know that one. This is, oh, come on, ChatGPT. What do you call an angle that is adorable?
A cute baby. Yeah.
Duh. Okay. Oh, this one's funny. Why do plants hate math?
Ooh, plants?
Yeah, plants.
I don't know. Something about roots?
Yeah.
Just halfway there, safe.
You're so close. It gives them square roots.
Oh, nobody wants square roots.
Nobody wants square roots. You want those stringy guys.
Dangly.
Okay, I think I'll pick one more. No.
These make good, like teachers should be like pausing and writing these down and putting them up on their board for cringe moments with their students.
100%. Or using them in like really terrible PD icebreakers.
Yes.
Oh no, you could use these.
Why am I not doing this?
Because I have to listen on Friday morning in balls. Okay. What did one math book say to the other? I've got too many problems.
And then the other book said, me too.
I don't know. They stopped talking after
They were just talking to each other. Okay. I like
it. I could have asked ChatGPT to continue that story.
You're going to be like, finish this scenario, please.
It'll do whatever I want. All right. Okay, so I have news now, and I wanted to see if my news was good. I mean, it's pretty good, but sometimes it's sad, and then it's a weird ending to the podcast. Okay, so I don't think this one's that sad. Nobody dies, I don't think. All right. So this is in Dania Beach, Florida, as everything is. So a Dania Beach woman is facing a felony charge after attacking a 4th grade teacher in an elementary school. And, it happened on Monday. It happened at the elementary school. They arrested a 43-year-old woman. The teacher taught her child, but was not currently teaching her child. And it says that the teacher was assisting with after-school dismissal when the attacker... They have her name in here. I don't know why I'm keeping it a secret. I don't know. Macintosh pulled up in her Nissan sedan, got out, charged at her, and hit her multiple times in the face. Someone took a picture of her license plate as she was leaving. They reported it. The probable cause to charge her was a third degree felony count of battery on public or private education. And they were ordered to have no contact. She was still in jail as of Monday, and the news story is still open. Like, I even checked back in today and like nothing has happened. I don't understand why this woman just, dude, but carpool duty is scary.
Oh my gosh. You think it was like a pickup line situation?
I hope not. It's not the teacher's fault. Maybe it was like taking too long or somebody cut in, or I don't know, man. I want to know though.
I want to know.
I mean, I went out one time after a very rough day, and as the teacher like laid into a grandmother who was picking up her child because he hit my intern, and I was just like done. Like, I was to hear with it. Like, and I stood out there and I was waving my finger around. And anybody who knows me knows that this is very hard for me because I am like a very nice human being as far as like, I will never confront anyone about anything. I'll be like, yeah, it's probably my fault that he hit her. It's no big deal. I was probably like, hey, go hit her. So silly of me. Like, and I didn't. I like went out and I was like, blah, 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 blah. And let me tell you this. And also, blah, blah. And she just stood there and took it. But all these other parents were like lined up waiting to get their kid. And they're like, I'm like, they don't want Mrs. Fugate as
their teacher. They're just not gonna piss you off. Everybody went home
for next year, whatever. It says that they have me. Like, I was just like, whatever. And then I turned around and walked back in. Nothing changed. It didn't do anything.
Right.
The problem was not solved. Nothing happened. It's just like, oh, and like she wasn't even her teacher currently.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Dismissal, man.
We used to have dismissal at my class at my school where the parents would come into the building. This was like, yeah, this was wild. It was a pretty small school. It was like third through K, two classes. So like 50 kids per grade level. That's still a lot of parents when you start to do that math. And they would come to the door. So like, try to keep first and second graders busy. Again, this is my multi-age years. Try to keep them busy and not going nuts while every parent wants to have a conference with you at the door.
Yes. And I would be guilty of it too. I mean, I walk in, I drop Addie off at pre-K, and I'm like, you want to hear about my last job interview? Let me tell you. And there's kids like running around with rocket ships. I'm like, yeah, you really care, right? You really make brownies? I'll make you brownies. You like brownies? I like brownies.
Great. But like, teachers do want to talk. They just like,
because they don't get to talk to grown-ups at all. That's what I said to myself as I was walking down the stairs after the 15 minutes that I stood in Addie's preschool class with her teacher. I was like, she probably enjoyed that. She doesn't get to talk to adults. It's fine. This is fine. She's okay. I didn't ruin her day. Whoops. Okay. Here's another one. This is in Boston. I'm going to Boston next weekend. Hey. Staff members at a community school. A staff member. Oh, wait, staff members. More than one? Okay, sorry. I obviously didn't read this very thoroughly. Staff members at James F. Condon, not Condom, Community School have been placed on leave for their involvement in allegedly restraining a student to a chair. A teacher allegedly used nylon straps and duct tape to restrain a student with special needs at South Boston School, which has students in kindergarten through eighth grade, according to school officials. In a statement, Skipper called, who's Skipper? Oh, the superintendent called the accusations deeply concerning and that the safety and well-being of the students is number one priority. This incident is deeply concerning and goes against our values. Yeah, blah, blah. We know, obviously, you don't want kids strapped to chairs.
Right.
We understand how horrible this has been for our student and their family. As soon as we were made aware of the incident, we took immediate action and placed the staff members involved. There keeps being a plural. There was more than one person that strapped this one child to a chair. Oh my God. Okay. So it's an ongoing investigation. And we want to reassure all families that we are working as the entire community. La 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 la. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, they were placed on leave. There we go. There's some answers. So all of the staff members. Oh my God. Wow. And so they found out about it. Parents found out through a letter that was written to them.
An anonymous letter?
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, I've never been in an extreme situation like that. However,
nylon,
when you're like in a school building, it is really hard sometimes to like speak up when you see things that are going wrong.
Yeah.
Because of like the retaliation or like, you know, just the like staff vibe sometimes can be like toxic. So obviously everyone who saw it or was involved, like, knew probably that it was the wrong thing to do, But like when you see that, like you walk by and you're like, don't do that. But also like, that's rough.
You were like halfway through that comment right there. And I was like thinking you were going to go the other way with it. Like when you're in a school building, sometimes it is hard to figure out what to do in those difficult moments. So I can understand.
You were like, I can't just scrap this whole interview because this woman's a psycho.
I was like, and leave. End the podcast.
Like, oh no.
I was just gonna let you go though. I was just be like, this would be a really good clip for Instagram.
Mona Math just ruined herself on that podcast.
Mona Math is now Mona No Mo. No,
on administrative leave.
Don't worry, there'll be an ongoing investigation.
Barely. That's right. That's right.
They're never gonna tell us about it. But yeah, so thank you, Mona, for coming on, and thank you to all of our listeners. Make sure you're following us on Instagram and Facebook. This is The Tipsy Teach. That is now what this handle is. So go follow Facebook, Instagram. You'll be up to date with all of the podcast stuff. I'm going to make a really big goal next week. I'm going to try to get us up on YouTube so you can watch these, because some people just really want to watch us. And maybe TikTok. I don't know, guys. You just know how I feel about TikTok. I'm just, I don't know. But maybe I'll do TikTok. But while you wait for that, make sure you tell a fellow teacher about the podcast, a friend, family members, anyone who wants to listen in. If they want to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that way we're easier for future people to find. And, you know, just don't forget about us. We're out here trying to do the good stuff. Sell the wine, give back to teachers. We got lots of wine festivals coming up if you're local to Maryland. So keep an eye on, what's that one? Teacher Wines. That's where we'll have our posts for our festivals. It's the other Instagram. But yeah, and since you made it this far, we're giving you a code to enter at checkout. If you go to teacherwines.com and you want to buy some of our delicious wine, you'll use the code TipsyPod at checkout. So you'll get a little discount there. That's TIPSYPOD. Oh, wait. I'm not supposed to call it a discount. I'm supposed to call it a limited. Oh, God. This guy, it was on Instagram. It's like reels. He's like, don't call it a discount. Call it a limited time special or something like that. So it's a special that's running forever if you listen to the podcast.
I love it.
But yeah. So we're so happy you're here. And we hope you have a good weekend. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thanks for having me.
Happy day on. I'm going to have a music play. Oh, okay. Oh, you got a bass. I never let it go.